What is up, Dilo Nation? It's Rick here. I have a question for you. How did one of the world's largest companies make $3.8 billion disappear? Not only was it the biggest accounting scandal in the history of the United States, it was also one of the biggest bankruptcies of all time. We are talking about one of the world's largest telecommunication companies and a core dividend-paying stock that many retirees held in their portfolio. At the peak of the dot-com bubble, the market capitalization of this company went to as high as $175 billion. But what did this company do? Well, this company, they tried to falsely inflate earnings on their profit and loss statement by nearly $4 billion. But how? By manipulating their financial data, which affected their income statement, balance sheet, 10K filing, and also their annual report. Now, when the tech bubble burst, many companies, they slashed their spending on telecommunication services and also equipment. And then this telecommunication giant, they had to resort to accounting tricks for them to maintain their ever-growing profitability. But by then, many investors had become suspicious of the CEO's story, especially after the Enron scandal that broke in the summer of 2001. Now, the question is, how did this telecommunication giant cook their books and also fool investors? That is what we are going to explore in today's episode, the rise and fall of WorldCom. Thank you for joining me once again, Dilo Nation. But before that, if you're liking this content, don't forget to follow or subscribe and share it with someone who will benefit from this. If you're looking to improve your investing skills and you love listening to stories, then you are definitely going to enjoy this podcast, because each week we'll be sharing with you tips and strategies to help you become a better investor using real company examples and the power of storytelling. Now, when you're ready, let us get started. First of all, how did WorldCom manage to fool investors? Before that, you have to understand what is accrual accounting. Now, when a business incurs an expense to purchase an item based on certain accounting rules, it states that the cost of that expense, instead of listing it down as one expense, it should be allocated over the entire period based on how long the purchase item will benefit the company. So this is known as accrual accounting. But if you don't get it, it's okay. Here's an example. Let's say there is a candy factory, right? This candy factory, they earn $10,000 profit a year. Now this year, this company, this candy factory, they decide to purchase a $7,500 candy machine that is expected to last for, say, 5 years. And this machine will also allow the employees to make twice as much candies per hour. Now, since the business purchased this candy machine, their profit for the year would be $2,500, correct? Because their profit is $10,000 and they bought $7,500 for the machine, correct? So their profit for the year would be only $2,500, correct? Now, if you are an investor of this company, you wouldn't be happy to see that the business only made $2,500 this year, correct? Because, I mean, you wouldn't be happy as an investor. You would be wondering why the profit fell. So that is where accrual accounting comes in. Since the candy machine is expected to last for the next 5 years, it's going to benefit the company for 5 years, the company can take its cost, which is $7,500, and divide it by 5. So resulting in $1,500 per year. So instead of realizing a large expense of $7,500 in a year, the company can just expense $1,500 each year for the next 5 years. So their reported annual profit for this year would be $8,500, right? So this would allow investors to get a more accurate picture of the company's economic reality and also their financial health. But here's the thing. This accrual accounting, it does not apply to all expenses, right? It only applies to capital expenditures such as factory, machinery, or equipment. And in this case, the candy machine is a type of capital expenditure because it's a machine, correct? So this accrual method of accounting, it does not apply to operating expenses such as raw materials, salaries, marketing costs, or even office supplies and so on. But that is what WorldCom did. WorldCom CFO Scott Sullivan, he took billions of dollars in operating expenses and he spread them out across the so-called property accounts, which is a type of capital expense account. And this allowed WorldCom to show their expenses in smaller amount over a span of years instead of reporting them immediately to investors. And because of that, in 2001, the company inflated their revenue by roughly $3 billion and reported a $1.4 billion profit instead of a loss. And then in June 2002, WorldCom confessed to nearly $4 billion in accounting fraud. And on the 22nd of July 2002, the company filed for bankruptcy, which is one of the biggest bankruptcies in the American history. Now, the bankruptcy filing led to more scrutiny for the company's executives and also prompted legal investigation into WorldCom's CEO, Bernard Ebbers, and also the CFO, Scott Sullivan. And in the end, the CEO, Bernard Ebbers, he was convicted on 9 counts of security fraud and sentenced to 25 years in prison for his role in the scandal. And then the CFO, Scott Sullivan, he was charged with 7 counts and sentenced to 5 years after entering a guilty plea. Now, after massive scandals by companies such as WorldCom and Enron, the government enacted this act. They call it Sarbanes-Oxley Act, right? In short, it's SOX. So this act, which is an act to increase investors' confidence in financial markets and also public companies. But before the act, there were many loopholes that public company could take to mislead and also defraud investors. And now with the SOX in place, it has definitely benefited us as investors. Some important changes this SOX made include increasing prevalence of audit committees, mandating internal controls for public companies, preventing more than 2 board members from being certified public accountants, increasing criminal penalties for securities fraud, and mandating companies change audit partners every 5 years. Right, so this SOX has really helped us as investors as we gain more confidence in the financial market and also to the public companies. Right. So what can we learn from this story? Personally, I think incidents like this, like WorldCom, Enron, is actually good because it exposes the weakness in all of this regulation. As things like this happen, it only improve the existing regulation and provide investor with more confidence as we get more accurate picture of the company's overall economic reality. Right. But then again, there are still lessons that we can learn to avoid investing in fraudulent companies like this. So what are the lessons? First thing, before you invest, make sure you compare companies in the same industry and the same sector. For example, are the terms of the lease similar? Are the allowance for bad debts the same? In the case of WorldCom, you could compare the trends in investment and also expenditure across companies. But it is still often difficult to detect fraud because companies do not provide detailed information on specific trends in the capital investment and also expenditure. So that is when you go for the next lesson. Lesson number 2. Look at time trends in changes in cash flow versus changes in earnings. I've talked about this before. It is known as quality of earnings, which is the ratio between operating cash flow to the net income. If the operating cash flow is significantly lesser than the net income, that is something you want to take note on and find out why. As for the quality of earnings, anything more than 80% is great, right? Other than that would be the common lessons. Number 3, diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Stick with index funds if you have to and only invest in individual stocks if you know how to do so and if you know what you're investing in. If you plan to speculate, speculate with money that you can afford to lose. Now, lesson number 4, do your own homework before investing. Understand the business. If it seems too good to be true, avoid it, right? And if you don't understand the business, don't even touch it. No matter how tempting it may seem, but of course, it is easier said than done, right? but definitely it is worth it, right? So don't touch something that you don't understand. Number five, don't let your emotions blur your decision-making abilities. Too many people, they make financial decisions based on greed or fear. When the markets are going up, decisions are based on greed. When markets are going down, decisions are based on fear. And people wind up getting out when they should be getting in. And that becomes a problem. So these are the five lessons. So that is all from me, my friend. If you want to know more about the Enron scandals as well, go check out episode 87, The Fall of a Wall Street Sweetheart, which is an episode about Enron. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to follow or subscribe and share with someone who will benefit from this. Also, if you want to learn how to pick profitable index funds and start your investing journey, or if you'd like to find out more about Dilun Investing, check out dilun.com for more info. Until next time, take care, my friend. I'll catch you on the next episode.